We're holding on Memvov Amud Beis, the second line. We've said in the Mishnah that there are a number of things to which Pigul doesn't apply. We have a previous Mishnah in our Perek that said that there were a whole bunch of things that Pigul doesn't apply to because you need to have, needs to be of not, it needs to be a thing that has Matsirin, not where it itself is the Matir. So for that reason, we said the koimetz, for example, a person eats it, is not subject to pigul and a mincha of koyanim and a variety of other things. But then our Mishnah had said that on the other hand, the din of noiser and tamei do apply to all those things. A person eats them when they're noiser, a person eats them when he's tamei, then he's chayav, then he's chayav the usual things, kores or a korban for each one, or chatos for each one of them, chutz min adam cholah, with the exception of if he eats the blood of the korban, he can be chayav kores for that alone, but he's not chayav for noiser and tumah. So the Gemara says, minahani mili, where do we know this from? Now, the answer the Gemara is going to give. So the point is, in other words, Rashi explains like this. Again, it's blood, so therefore he's anyway chayav kares the mezid or chatas the shogeg for it. But the point is, let's say he did it for shogeg. If he was chayav for blood as well as for the fact that it's noiser, then he'd be chayav two chatas. Now that we're saying he's not chayav on it for noiser, then he's only chayav the one chatas. So where do we know this from? So the Gemara, the first answer that the Gemara is going to give over here, or the various answers that we're going to give over here, the original context of them is not to explain about this matter of Tuma and Noiser, but rather to explain a different point from Masechta Me'ila, why it is that blood is not of Korbanos, is not subject to Me'ila. But once we're going to say that, once we find by Me'ila these various drushes that we're going to bring, then we can apply them also to Noser, and then we can apply them also to Noser and Tumah, as the Gemara is going to work out further down on the Amud. So, Oma Ula, Oma Krav, Amina Sativ Lachem. Ula says, the reason is because the Pasuk says you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, because I have given it to you to be Mechaper for you. So the word Lachem means Shalachem Yehei. The word lachem implies that it's yours, so therefore there's no me'ila. It's not considered to belong to Hekdesh anymore after a certain point. Dveda bishmal tana, not just after a certain point, but bachlal, that's what we're saying. After the mitzvah was done with it, we're going to discuss further down that definitely me'ila doesn't apply to it, but we learned from this passage that even before the mitzvah has been done, even before it's been sprinkled, me'ila wouldn't apply to it. And therefore, since Me'ila wouldn't apply, then as the Gemara is going to say further on, neither did the dinim of Noser and Tumah, because we're going to show how they're all tied together. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Shiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different Jerusha for it, Omakro Lachaper, because the Pasuk says, after it says, Vanina Sativ Lachem, it says Lachaper to atone, implying the Kapora Nesativ Loyla Me'ila. I gave it to you for the purpose of Kapora, not for the purpose of Me'ila. Insofar as Me'ila is concerned, it's not considered Kodshin. A few different other ways of explaining what the Durasha is. One of them being the Me'iri explains basically Hashem is saying, "Ein Saneger Nas the Kateger." I don't want to have that the blood, which is meant to be the kapara for you, should also have the ability to cause you to be guilty of Me'ila, and therefore I'm exempting it from Me'ila. Rabbi Yechanan says a third way. Omakra, who? The pasuk continues. That same pasuk continues. Ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. The blood. The blood is what contains the soul, and it's mechaper. So the word hu means lifne kapara. So we learn hu means that it has the same status throughout. A lot of times we douse in the word hu. Rashi actually brings the word domeh benafshe hu, which is actually the actual pasuk says ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. Anyway, a lot of times we douse in the word who to mean it's the same from beginning to end. Like Mar mentions in Megillah, for example, we have Achashverosh. Hu Achashverosh means that he was the same Rosh from beginning to end. And we have a number of other examples where it brings over there where the word who on a person, meaning there was a tzaddik from beginning to end, or he was a Rosh from beginning to end. So the same way over here, who means it has the same status from beginning to end. Therefore, we learn lifne kapara, who lifne kapara kila acha kapara, means the status of the blood before the kapara, before it's been sprinkled on the mizbeach, is just like after it. Ma acha kapara ain't by me'ila, just like after kapara, there's no me'ila in it, as we're going to explain in a second. After lifne kapara ain't by me'ila. So by saying who, says Rabbi Yechanan, the Torah is telling us that even before it was sprinkled and accomplished kapara, nevertheless me'ila is not relevant. Tosfos was actually brings up there are other Gemaras that seem to say that Me'ilah would apply to the blood. First of all, you have a case where a person extracts blood from an animal of Kodshim, then Me'ilah would apply to it. So the difference is, because over there that blood is never going to participate in the Kapara. It's not going to be the blood that's received and sprinkled on the Mizeah. But then Tosfos also discusses in some detail about a point the Mishnah mentions in Yuma, and it's mentioned in a few places in Chas. All of the blood that they spilled onto the Yisod of the Mizbeah, eventually it would flow out through the Amma. We've learned earlier in our Masechta that there was the Amma, a water channel that flowed through the Azara. In addition, under the Mizbeach there's also underground channels that lead to that. The blood that was spilled on the Yisod winds up over there. It drains out to Nachal Kidron in the deep valley east of Yerushalayim. Farmers over there would want to use it for fertilizer, but the din is Me'ilah would apply, and if they wanted to use it, they had to pay Hekdesh for it. So why? Since we're saying over here that blood of Kodshim is not subject to Me'ilah. So Tosfos discusses a number of possibilities. It may be only Dirabbanan. It may be that the Chachamim specifically made a takana that they would be makdish it again. In other words, like this, obviously you can be makdish anything of value. So like this, the blood has lost, it doesn't have its kedusha as far as Me'ilah, as we're saying in our Gemara over here, but maybe after it drains out to Nachal Kidron, then the Chachamim specifically are makdish it again, precisely so that this way it's another income stream for the Beis Mikdash. The farmers, if they want it, will have to pay for it. And then Tosfos discusses various details about ins and outs of those points. But here in our Gemara, we're saying basically that the blood is never subject to Me'ilah, because after the mitzvah is done with it, definitely it's not subject to Me'ilah, and therefore the pasuk who says Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that the same thing as beforehand. Well, the Gemara asks Ema, well, if you're going to just darshan from the word who, you could say the other way around. La'acha kapara kilifne kapara. Maybe say the other way around, that what happens with the after kapara is exactly the same as before kapara. And assume malifne kapara yeshve me'ilah. Assume that any time that before kapara there's going to be me'ilah, because that's usually how it works with korbanos. Anything before it's been used for the korban, anything from when it was designated for the korban until it was used, is subject to me'ilah. So then you would say, la'acha kapara yeshve me'ilah. Say from the word who, then that it means that even after kapara, there'll still be me'ilah. So the other jirashas are the other chachamim and the jirashas are not bothered by that. Ula is saying lachem shalachem yehe, it's yours. So therefore, that means it's yours. That's that. There's no reason to distinguish between what stage of it we're talking about. Rabbi Shmuel's jirasha from the kapara, same thing. But Rabbi Yochanan's jirasha from who? Why are you taking it in one direction to go lakula? Go the other direction and go lachumra. The answer is because you never find something where the mitzvah has been accomplished with it and Me'ilah would still apply. You always have each kind of thing of kodshim. It becomes subject to Me'ilah from when you designate it, or depending on the different kinds of korbanos, different rules of Me'ilah. We'll learn about it. We'll learn about it in a year's time, Be'ez Hashem or so. in any case. So you have, with each one, there'll be something that has to be done with it, and then once that thing is done, then it's not subject to Me'ilah anymore. So therefore, the same thing with the blood. The blood's been sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The mitzvah's been done. Therefore, there can't be Me'ilah in anymore. Therefore, we have good reason to say that if the Pasuk is telling us that it's the same thing throughout, then it means before Kapara, it has the same din. Tosfos does point out, we could say, on the other hand, don't we find the other way around? If the mitzvah has not been done with it, it is subject to Me'ilah. So Tosfos says the fact is there are a number of things that we do actually find like that. The Gemara is going to bring momentarily about Truma Sadeshan and Egla Arufa, where they're in fact the issue of Me'ilah or the issue of Hanar in them only starts applying when the mitzvah is done, right before the mitzvah is done, and therefore, yes, we have good reason to say that before Kapara, there are times when Me'ilah doesn't apply, and therefore the Gemara can assume, based on that, that the Drosha from who tells us the same thing after Kapara, Me'ilah doesn't apply there as well. So the Gemara says, well, Lo, you're telling me that not? I'll give you an example of something where Nasus Mitzvasa and Me'ilah still applies. About a Truma Sadeshin. What about the Truma Sadeshin, the ashes that are taken off the Mizbeach, and placed on the floor near the Kevesh? So now the pasuk says the summer Eitzonam is there. Actually, she placed it there, and that implies that it remains there. Rashi explains, and it actually gets swallowed up into the ground, meaning that it's also b'hanam. Tosfos actually discusses not necessarily are we saying that it's subject to the actual dinim of Me'ila, but at least that it's also Bahanah. Tosfos also in various places discusses whether in fact it does get swallowed up into the ground. There are other things that the Gemara says that do, but maybe not the Trumas Hadeshin. Be that as it may, that according to the opinion that it got swallowed up. According to Rashi's opinion, the point is that it would be subject to Me'ila if then a person dug into the floor and extracted it from there, so then he'd still be over on Me'ila. But again, maybe it's not truly Me'ila. Maybe it's only an Isra Hanah, but the point is we see that that applies even after the mitzvah is done. And the answer is that Mishum David, that's true, but so the point question is then, so once you have that, why can't you say the same thing is true of the blood? And the reason is Mishum David Shurma Sadeshin or Big De Kahuna Shnei Suma Boim Kachon. Because it's true, you have by Shurma Sadeshin this concept that's also Bahana even afterwards, because it says the summer. Where you have something that it says the same thing by the Big De Kohen Gadol of that the Big De Lavan, the white linen clothing that he wears on Yom Kippur, which also remains also Bahana after he's used it. Well then that's Shnei Suma Boim Kachon. Two psukim that teach us the same din. And as we know, a general rule, when you have two psukim where we have the exact same din, then it means we don't learn from them to others. If we have only one, then the point that we would make a binyan out from it. But because we have two, then the Torah, by giving us two, is hinting to us that it applies only in these two places, but not anywhere else. So that's how it is then. Shurma Sadeshin and the Big De Kahuna, as the Gemara is going to now bring the psukim, then, yes, the concept of Ne'ilo, or at least the concept of Isra Hana, applies to them even after they've been used. But therefore, we see from that nothing else. So what are the psukim? Because the Gemara is actually not bringing the psukim, but the Gemara is going to bring the pasuk by Big De Kahuna. By Big De Kahuna, it says the nicham sham. It says you should take off the Big De Lavan, the nicham sham, and you should place them there. And we learn from that it means that they're pasul to ever be. It means that they can't be used again. They have to be put in gnif. So that's only there and only by Truma Sedeshin and not by anything else. Okay, the Gemara says Hanichal Rabbanan Da'ami V'Nicham Sham Malamet Shtoanim Gneza. That works out well according to the Chachamim, who understand the pasuk V'Nicham Sham to mean just that, that those Big De Kahuna are required Gneza and they can never be used again. One idea they talk about it, a remez in the matter, or a drosha in the matter, is that he used them for the kapara of this year, Yom Kippur, and now those averas are like permanently gone, and therefore we can't use those same clothing again, because that would imply that those same averas are still here, or that the level of tshuva that he's on is the same as last year, and it can't be that way. It always has to be a higher level of tshuva, and always is that last year's averas are gone, and now we need a kapara for the new ones. So if you say that they require Gneza, then yeah, that's exactly the same thing there and by Trumas Hadeshin, and therefore, so you can say that's Shnei Suma Boim Kachal. Ella Rav Dosa, I mean, we're trying to say in the Kohen, Rav Dosa says that he says, I agree, V'nicham Sham means there's a restriction on the Kohen Gadol ever using them again, but he says that they would be kosher for a Kohen Hedyot. After all, the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year wears exactly the same kind of clothing, Big Day Lavan. So Rav Dosa holds it is perfectly kosher for a Kohen Hedyot to use them the rest of the year. Three out of the four of them are definitely the same. The Ksoines, the Mechmasayim, and the Mitznefes, which were Kohen Hedyot wrapped differently and called Mikbas, there was a Macholikas in the Gemara whether the belt of the Kohen Hedyot is identical to the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, both made out of linen, or whether the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year is made of the same materials as the Kohen Gadol's throughout the year, so it's made of Tchelis, Vargaman, etc. Be that as it may, three out of the four of them are certainly kosher for a Kohen Hedyot during the rest of the year, and Rav Dosa says you could use them for that. All it is the Kohen Gadol can't use them on a future Yom Kippur. So according to him, the Big De Kahuna are not in fact also b'hanah. So according to him, you only have one case where the mitzvah has been done with something, and then it would be also b'hanah, or that me'ilah work on it. So then, ma'ikul meimar, according to Rav Dosa, what are you going to say? Why shouldn't we say then that the that we apply the same thing to the blood of Korbanos, that Me'ilah would presumably apply to them before the mitzvah is done, as usual, and then it would also continue to apply to them even after the mitzvah is done. And the answer is Mishum David Shumas Hadesh the Egla Rufa Shnek Sumabayim Kafad, because we also have the same concept by the Egla. So now we can say, fine, forget about the Godim of the Kohen Gadol, but we have Shumas Hadesh and we have Egla Rufa, which are also Shnek Sumabayim Kafad, two psukim that teach us the same thing, because by the Egla Rufa as well, the pasuk says the Ofu Shom, they should decapitate the Egla there. And that means, and the word Shom means that's also Bahana after that. So we have again there a concept where the mitzvah has been done with it and still Me'ilah, and then still Me'ilah applies to it. So you also have the whole Shneksuba going Kafad and Galamdin. When you have two psukim that teach us the same thing, we can't learn from them to anything else. So even appointed of Dosa, we can say the blood is not in that category. All right, the Gemara says Hanichal Mandama in Malamdin. Fine, all that works out according to the opinion that from two, once you have it by two different dinim, then you can't learn from it to others. Evel Mandama Malamdin Ma'if Lamemer. What about according to the opinions that you could apply that to others? You have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere in Shas that just because it says it in two psukim like this, the Chachamim say if it said it only in one, then we would say we have a dinyan out from it to everywhere else. But when it says it in two places, and we could have easily learned one from the other by Binyan Ab, then we're saying it means it's restricted only to those. Unless the Gemara will sometimes point out there's a dissimilarity of some other kind between them. One has a Chumrah over the other, where therefore we couldn't have learned one from the other. Let's say each one has a Chumrah over the other, and we couldn't have learned one from the other, and therefore we do need it to be said by both of them. But otherwise, we would say that if it's two psukim, then we can't learn from it. But Rabbi Yehuda says no. Just because it says two psukim doesn't mean you can't learn to other places. Three psukim is one thing, but two you could say the same way, for example, as the Gemara will sometimes say, Milsa da'asya b'kavachoymer. You have something that you could have learned with the kavachoymer, Torah v'fasa v'akra, and instead the pasuk bothers to write it out rather than leaving you to derive it by a kavachoymer. The same way over here, the Torah could have said it in only one place, but it chooses to write it in two places. So according to the Yehuda then, how are you going to derive that the blood is not also Bahana? Now, the Gemara could have answered, he doesn't hold like Rav Dosa. So therefore, you have three. You have Trumas Hadeshen, the clothes, and the Egla Rufa. But the Gemara wants to find that even if Rav Yehuda and Rav Dosa agree, nevertheless, we still don't have a problem. Because the Gemara says, Shrei Mi'uti Ksivi. Because there were two Mi'utim in the psukim, let's go back to Trumas Hadeshen and Egla Rufa. Each one of them has a miut in it that shows that this din applies only to them. So it's not a matter of Shnei Ksugma Boim Kafan anymore. It's each one has a clear miut in it that it applies only there. Because by the Egla Rufa it says that they should bury the decapitated calf. So that means this one, it has this din, but no, nothing else does. Otherwise, it didn't have to say the word ha'arufa at all. It could have said, the expression in the pasuk is that after they shechted it and buried it, then the pasuk says, the zikmeir irahi, go and wash their hands over the area where the calf was decapitated. So it doesn't have to say the word ha'arufa at all. So certainly it doesn't have to, so therefore the hey teaches us only this one has this din that it's also bahana, nothing else. And by the Trumas Hadeshen, it says you should place it, where again, it means it and nothing else is like it. So we have these Mi'utim, and therefore that makes it clear, according to everybody, that we don't learn from them to other things, and therefore we don't learn from them to blood, and therefore therefore we can say that the blood of Kodshim is like most other things, where Me'ilah does not apply once the mitzvah has been done, and then we were back to the Yechanan's Zerusha, that the word who teaches us that the same thing is before the mitzvah has been done as well. Tosfos actually elsewhere discusses the point. Tosfos here just brings up the question, why do we need two miyotim? Just have one miyot, and that shows that it doesn't apply anywhere else. And an answer is that the word ha'arufa is not really so extra, because we actually learn from it a different din, where we actually learn from it a different din about that we shouldn't compare the part adruma to it. The part adruma is shechted, not decapitated. And then Tosfos elsewhere, and then a different Tosfos in Pesachim discusses a different point, that if there was only one miut, we would only be memayit certain things. So therefore, all told, we're left with that we have reason to say that the din of Dovash and Nasif Mitzvasai, that the mitzvah has been accomplished and the ill still applies only to certain things, but not to blood. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says, the fact is, we had three different drushas. We had Ula's drusha from Lachem, Rabbi Shmuel's from Lachaker, and Rabbi Yechanan's from Hu. So, after all those three words exist in the psukim. So, Tlosa Kroy B'dom Lamali. Why, in fact, do we need three psukim, three words by blood to tell us this concept that a person is not chayav for Me'ilah for it? So the reason is, because that's just it. All this time, the original context where the Gemara had brought those drashas was in connection with Me'ilah. Now we need to know where the fact is. In our Mishnah, we were saying that they're not subject to the dinim of Noser and Tomei. So now we need to know where those come from, and that's why we have the three psukim. One tells us that it's exempted from Me'ilah even before Kapara, another one that if it was left over, then a person is potter for eating it as Noser, and the third one that if he's Tomei, he's potter from eating it. Again, he'll be chayev for the fact that it's blood, but he won't be chayev a second chatas for the fact that it's Noser, that he's Tomei. So that's why we have three psukim. Aval, pigle, like Sarakura. But now you could argue, what about the fact that it's also not subject to pigle? Why don't we need a posit for that? The answer is, we don't need a posit. It's not, because we learned in a previous Mishnah in our product. Anything that has a matu, anything that has something, any part of a korban that has something that makes it mutter for a person to eat or for the mizbeah to get its portions, chayav and olam pigle, that a person is chayav if he eat it as pigle. The dam gufe matu, who the blood itself does not have a matu, the blood itself is the matu of the korban, and therefore automatically it's excluded from pigle, as we had learned a few days ago, how we learned that concept that in order to be subject to pigle, something has to have matirin. So therefore, so blood obviously does not have matirin, therefore you don't need a posuk to tell us it's exempted from pigle, but you do need psukim to tell us it's exempted from noiser and tome, and that together with me'ilah is why we have the three words in the posuk from which we dash in these points. Now let's talk here. Now the Gemara is going to bring another example where we have three different psukim that seem to teach us the same thing, and we actually use them for different purposes. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shloisha Chrisus v'Shlomim Lama. Three times by a Shlomim, it says that if a person eats it when he's Tomei, then he's Chayev Kores. One in Parshas Emor, and two in Parshas Tzav. So why do we need three psukim? So Rabbi Yechanan says, Achaf with Klal, one of them teaches us a Klal, the Achaf with Prat, and the second one teaches us a Prat. Namely, now, it's not a regular Klal of Prat, which would mean, therefore, that it means that we only do the Prat. What it actually means is, Rashi and Tosfos both explain, that it means we're using it as Dover Shahoy B'Klal, the Yotzim and a Klal Lamed. You have a general Klal, and the Torah singles out one thing, then we say it's not just coming to single out that one thing. It means Elo Lamed al Klal Kilo Yotzah. It teaches us about the entire Klal. Namely, the one Pasuk tells us that if a person is Tomei and eats Shlomim, then he's Chayav Kodesh. Now, this applies to all Kodeshim. Why does it single out Shlomim? So the reason is to tell us that this din applies to all Kodeshim is there. So the klal is that it applies to all Kodeshim. Then you have Prat where it lists Shlomim specifically, and therefore that tells us that the Kodeshim that we're talking about, that the person will be Chayav Kodesh for, is specifically Kodeshim is there, but not Kodeshim Bedek Abayis. Now you can have, for example, a person designates an animal as a korban. That's kodesh mizbeach. Now then, we're saying that when it's shechted and brought as a korban, if the person eats it when he's tomei, he's chayav kodesh. On the other hand, let's say you could have a person with makdish an animal as a balmum. So it's not going to be brought as a korban. It's going to be kodesh bedek abayis, just as kedushas domin. Eventually, let's say the Beis Hamikdash may decide to shecht it and sell the meat. At that point, if a person eats that meat when he's tamei, then he's not chayav for that. That we're learning from the fact that it said that we have the klal, but then we have the prat, meaning again, not a real klal of prat, because Tosfos points out a klal of prat has to be that the klal and prat are right next to each other. Here, there's these klalim and pratim are in different places.
But no, so therefore we doubt in it as loy lama no aklal yotza, lama no aklal kulo yotza, loy lama no lachma yotza, lama no aklal kulo yotza, that it means it's not just shlomim, it's anything else which is like shlomim in being kodshim is there. So that's two of them. And the third one, continued Rabbi Yochanan, tells us that a person, even within kodshim is there, if it's not roy to eat, then if it's not roy to eat, then he's not chayiv kares for it. So like we said in the Mishnah, for example, a person were to eat wood or lavoina when he's tamei, then he wouldn't be chayiv kares. That he would be chayiv kares. Actually, we said in the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah that all those things that there are different gersois over here. The Mishnah had said that wood or lavoina and keteris, a person is not chayav for tumah. So over here we're saying that that was according to the Shimon in the Mishnah. We said the Chachamim disagreed and said that a person is in fact chayav kares for them. So the Chachamim learned that from the third time that it says that a person is chayav kares for eating things of korbanos when he's tamei. So therefore, so it would include these things as well. The reason is, because one of those psukim that says that one of those psukim that talks about tumah says the words v'habasar, as far as the meat, kol tohor yochal basar, anybody who's tohor can eat the meat. So from that word v'habasar, then we learn that it includes eitzim and levoina and things like that. So that's what we use the three for, one for a klal and one for a prat, meaning to teach us the concept of lo lamed al klal yotza, el lamed al klal kulo yotza. This zin applies not only to shlomim, but any kodshim is there. And then the third one teaches us that it does also include things that are not usually eaten. Well, what about what about a point of Shimon in our Mishnah, who said that a person is not chayav for eating those things when he's tamei, l'isui mai? So according to him, what is the third pasuk coming to include? And the answer is l'isui chatoris apnimius. According to him, it comes to include the chatoris apnimius, the pyre, the sur, shulim, akaporim, and the rest of them. Now, safu dat hamina. Now, the reason why we need to say that is we would have otherwise thought, hoyov amar Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon himself had said earlier in our parak, that one thing we learn from when we talk about pigol, and the pasuk again mentions pigol specifically in connection with shlomim. So Reb Shimon had learned from that kol she'enoi al mizbeach achitzin k'shlomim, anything which is not offered on the anything where the blood is not sprinkled on the outer mizbeach like a shlomim, ein chayavin al mashum pigol, then one is not chayav for eating it as pigol because it's not similar to a shlomim. Meaning, according to Reb Shimon, pigol does not apply to the chatzaris epnimius. So you would think mishum tumah nami loy l'chayev. So maybe he's not chayev for eating them when he's tumah either. Kamash malan, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the pasuk has to tell us that he is. So it comes out, therefore, so we have two of them are needed to tell us that it applies not just to shlomim, but all kodshim is there. And the third one, according to the Chachamim, tells us that it applies even to things that are inedible. And according to Reb Shimon, since chatoris apnimius are not subject to pigol, then we need the third one to tell us that they are subject to the din of tumah. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had continued, Numi Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon had said, Numi is like the word Nu'um in Tanakh. It means Reb Shimon had said. The Mishnah, as we have it printed over there, it didn't actually say that, but the Gemara is, that the, actually, Hagoy Sabach, Rashi actually quotes it over there, and, Rashi's Gersa does have it quoted over there. In fact, Rashi brings over there that when he said Numi Reb Shimon, he says that this is what I heard. Rashi says over there in the Mishnah, this is what I heard from the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Yaakov. And he explains that Reb Meshulam Bar Kloinimus explained this before he passed away. There's a Tosfos at the end of Menachos that says that the same Reb Kloinimus, before he passed away, explained and corrected three Gemaras as if like with Ruach HaKodesh. And then he also, this is one of the things he explained shortly before he passed away, what does Numi mean is another way of saying Reb Shimon. So we don't have it printed in the Mishnah in front of us in on Mem Hey Amud Beis, but here the Gemara is quoting it that way. So Numi Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon had stated Machayev es Shadarke Lefechola. He says a person is chayev for eating when he's tomei only things that are edible, but not things that are not edible. So therefore, he says that a person is potter for eating wood or lavoino or whatever when he's tomei. So the Gemara is gonna discuss what kind of tumah are we talking about. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan v'Resh Lakish, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. We have four chachamim involved in this. Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish have a machlokas, and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina have a machlokas. Chad mehayizuza v'chad mehayizuza. Within each pair, one of them says one, and one says two. So we don't know who said what, but within those four, two of them said one opinion of the following opinions, and the other two said Rabbi Yochanan had said one thing, and Rish Lakish had said opposite him. Which one is which? We don't know. Same thing. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina had the same machlokas, one of them taking one side and the other the other side. What's the machlokas? Chad Omer, one says that one opinion within this machlokas is that to understand the machlokas of our Mishnah. So this is the machlokas, how to understand the machlokas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. So Chad Omer, within each pair of Amiroyim, one of them says machlokas for Tumas Basar. The machlokas is specifically when the meat of the korban is tomei, or in this case, if the wood or the lavoina was tomei. So is he getting malchus for it? So we could say that the word vahab basar from the pasuk comes to include also that the eitzim and levoina are subject to that as well. Avo v'chumas aguf. But if it was that the person ate the wood or the levoina when he was tomei, divrei hakol ein loika, then everybody would agree that he doesn't get malchus, because then we would say that the ribui is from the word v'habosar ashiyiga b'chol tomei, and that means that when the meat touches anything that's tomei, you can't eat it. So fine, you can include from the word v'habosar, you can include the wood and levoina, but when it comes to eating it when the person himself is tomei, there's no such ribui in the pasuk, and therefore we would say that he doesn't get malchus. Tosfos discusses that we learned a few blocks ago that he may be chayiv koris for it, but he wouldn't be chayiv malchus. However, Tosfos says it seems that not. Seems that actually we are saying over here the opinion that says he's not chayiv malchus would say he's not chayiv koris. For eating the eitzim or levoina when he himself is tamei either. That's one opinion. V'chad amak machlokas v'zu, kach machlokas v'zu. The other amorda from each of these pairs says that no, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim argue in both cases whether the wood is tamei or whether the person is tamei, whether he's getting malchus or koris or not, do we in fact learn from this word v'habosar that we should include the eitzim or levoina? So according to that way of looking at it, that would be the machlokas. My timer, why is that? Given the Karina Bay, Vahabosa, Shayuga Bahotome, since we have the Pasik Vahabosa and the meat that touches anything Tome, and that word Vahabosa is extra, so therefore Karina Bay, which Tomasa, all of therefore we can apply the concept that where the Pasik says, as the Pasik continues, that he eats it when he's Tome. Then we would say, therefore, that it means that this din of eating it when it's tomei, again, we're learning from Bahab Basar, that it includes eitzim and levoina, so therefore we would say that it also includes the case when he's tomei and also when the wood is tomei. So that's one way of understanding the machlokas is if the wood is tomei, then you'd have machlokas whether he's chayev for eating it. But if the person is tomei, then either way we would not say that he gets malchus for it, because the pasuk is not referring to where he's tomei. The pasuk is referring to where the meat is tomei or not. So again, we have two possible opinions. One that they're arguing only on Tumas Basar, but not Tumas Aguf. And the other one says it would be the same machlokas either way, whether the meat or the wood is Tomei, or whether the person is Tomei. Either way, Reb Shimon would hold that he's Chayev, and the Chacham would hold his Pater. That's all one version of the machlokas of the Amoraim. Rav Tavyumi Masnihachi. Rav Tavyumi learned that way. What we just quoted is Rav Tavyumi's version of what Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlokish, and Rav Elazar, and Rav Yosef of Chanina said on the subject. Rav Kahana Masnihachi. Rav Kahana has a different version of the machlokas. Again, he agrees with the same four chachamim, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Shlokish, Rav Elazar, and Rav Yosef of Chanina. And again, Chad Mehai Zuzah, Vachad Mehai Zuzah, that each one of that, within each pair, one of them says one way and the other says the other way. But he says Asefa. He says that the machlokas is actually about what Rav Shimon says in the Sefer of the Mishnah. The first version, Rav Tavyumi's version, is that they were referring to what Rav Shimon had said, that a person is not chayev for eating things that are not edible. Now, Rav Kahana's version is that he's referring to that referring to what Rav Shimon says. In other words, according to Rav Tavyumi, in other words, the question is, what is the Chachamim's opinion? Are they going to be mechayev? Is there ever a case where they're going to be mechayev for things that are not roi la'achila? But they would both agree that Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon is saying that when he says a person is potter, but here the Chachamim say a person is chayev for eating the wood or the vine or whatever, are they saying he's chayev in all cases or only some cases? But Rav Shimon would be saying that he's potter in all cases. Now, that was Rav Tavyumi's version. Rav Kahana's version is that we're actually referring to Rav Shimon's opinion, and the Machloikas is within what Rav Shimon holds. Chad Amo Machloikas, the Tumas Aguf, one Amora from each version, from each pair, says the Machloikas, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, is when the person is Tomei. So when the person is Tomei, again, we don't have the word Vavbosa, from which we learn Eitzim and Levona, is not referring to when the person is Tomei, it's referring to when the object is Tomei, so therefore then we have the Macholikas, whether he's Chayev or not. Avra Tumas is Bosa, Dibre Hakoloika, but if the meat, or in this case the wood, is Tomei, then everybody would agree that he gets Malkus. As again, the word Vavbosa is going to tell us to apply it across the board. And the other one says, no, machloikas vizu, kach machloikas vizu. The same machloikas is in both cases that Rav Shimon would still say that it's not roi la'achila and say it doesn't matter whether the person is tomei or whether the kodesh is tomei, either way, so he doesn't learn from the word v'habosser to include the wood and the levina. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rava, Mistabra, Commander Omar, Kamachloikas Vizu, Kamachloikas Vizu. It's more logical to say, to follow the opinion of the Amoraim that says that they have the same Machloikas in both places. Whether Rava is referring to Ultra Kahana's version, whether he's referring to Rav Tavyumi's version is a different question. But anyway, so Rava says it's more logical to say that Rav Shimon and the Chachamim argue in both cases, Tumas Boser and Tumas Aguf. My timer. Why is that? Even the Karina Bay, between also Oliver Nichusa, because according to Rav Shimon, why are we saying that he's potter for eating wood or lavoina? Is because we can't apply the pasuk between also Oliver Nichusa. And you're going to say that you can't douse in the pasuk that says that when he's tomei and he eats it, then he gets kares. Because again, according to Rav Shimon, we're saying that if he himself is tomei, then the pasuk, the word v'habbosa is not referring to where he's tomei; it's referring to where the word or levoina is tomei. And therefore, we have no basis to say that he should be chayev for eating them when he himself is tomei. Well, once we don't apply that, says Rava, then we also can't apply the previous pasuk that says that you can't eat it when it itself is tomei. So therefore, we should in fact say that the two of them are equated and that therefore what if Rav Shimon holds that a person is potter for eating the wood or the vina when he's tomei when they're tomei then also when he is tomei then we also wouldn't say that he's chayev for eating it when they are tomei. Okay. So the Gemara says, don't we say that Vavbosser comes to include Eitzim and Levoina? So according to this understanding of Rav Shimon, and according to within the first version, within Rav Tavyumi's version, everybody says that Rav Shimon says that he's potter when it comes to Eitzim and Levoina, and according to Rav Kahana's version, only some of them are Amoraim do. But according to them, how do they understand the fact is we have that Jirasha that says that we include Eitzim and Levoina on the grounds of the word Vavbosser? And the answer is Lepsula Ba'alma. That just means that if the word or the Levoina becomes Tomei, the pasul to be used. It's just a din de rabbanon, though. The pasuk is being used only as an asmach. So it's not actually, so according to that way of looking at it, it's not actually daraisa. That person would not be allowed to eat the gula lavoina when he's tomei, or when it's tomei, as the case may be. And therefore, in fact, Reb Shimon can say that it doesn't apply, and the person is in fact potter. Again, whether he's potter in all cases or only in the case where he's tomei, that's subject to the discussion before. So the Shittim Kovetzis brings a different explanation that it is an actual Jerusha. It's not just an Asmachta, but the Jerusha only teaches us that they're only able to become possible, and not that a person is hired for actually eating them when they're Tomei or when he's Tomei. Okay. So that explains Reb Shimon's and the Chachamim's opinions according to the different possibilities. Now that we've been talking, now that we've been dealing in the last 2.5 parakim with the various ins and outs of pigul, where we're saying therefore that a machshava can pass a korban, and really since the beginning of the sector we talk about that a thought of shalom l'shma can pass a certain korbanos. So let's talk about the thoughts that the kohen should have in mind when he brings the korban. L'shem shishet dvarim azevach nisach. The korban is to be shechted with the following 6 things in mind. It doesn't just mean the shlita. Tosfos at the beginning of the sefer discusses it does mean all the rest of the avodas as well, even the burning of the poros on the mizbeach. All have to be done with the proper intention. The difference is Tosfos says at the beginning of the sefer that when we have a thought of shalom l'shma, as we learned there, then we'll pass a certain korbanos, but that'll only be by the blood when it comes to burning the emurim or the pieces of an oil or whatever. Then a thought of shalom l'shma won't pass it. It's just a mitzvah to do it. The Rambam phrases it that when it's shechted, he has to have it in mind. So there's a discussion whether the Rambam means to say that it's only during the shechita that it's necessary to have these thoughts, or whether the Rambam would agree that it applies to the other avodas as well. Anyway, you have to have the following 6 things in mind. L'shem zevach, number 2, that you're bringing it as this particular kind of korban. L'shem zeveach, you have to have in mind the person for whom it's being brought. Now, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, if he has a thought of shalom l'shma, most korbanos, it won't pass over. It just means that the owner is not yotze, and then with a Pesach or a Chatzos and the very end of the points, different other Tanoim, different other ones that we talked about over there, are going to be actually completely possible. So you have to have in mind the proper, even by the ones that won't be possible, you have to have in mind the proper type of korban, and you have to have in mind the owner. As we learned over there, something called shinri bailin, where if he has in mind a different owner, then also it can be possible. The third thing, l'shem Hashem, he has to have in mind that the korban is being brought for Hashem. Number 4, l'shem ishim, he has to have in mind that it's going to be completely burnt on the mizbeach, and not, as the Gemara is going to say, that it means that it means, for example, that he's not going to make a barbecue out of it. Number 5, l'shem reach, he has to have in mind that it will make a fragrance on the mizbeach, as we'll see in the Gemara, as opposed to what. And the 6th, l'shem michoya, is he has to have in mind that it will be a pleasure, that it will be a pleasure for Hashem. The pasuk says by many korbanos reyach nichoyach laHashem, and as Rashi explains, it means nachas ruach lefanai, that Hashem is, so to speak, takes pleasure in the fact that He tells us a mitzvah and we accomplish it. So you have to have those things in mind. Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta points out that of these 2 things, only l'shem zeveach and l'shem zevach, only l'shem zevach and l'shem zeveach are gonna disqualify the korban, make it that it won't be yotze, or make it that it will even be possible. The other 4 Tosfos says are not ma'akar. And again, here you have, again, different mafoshim, different rishonim, who disagree with that and say that all of them have to be done with the proper intention. The Rashbat writes this, the Lechem Mishnah explains that the Rambam holds the same way. So you have to have those 6 things in mind. Again, according to Tosfos, 2 of them are ma'akev, 4 are not, but according to Rashbat and possibly the Rambam, all 6 of them are ma'akev. And then, v'achatas v'osham, when a person is bringing a chatas or an osham, you have to have a 7th thing in mind, l'shem chet. You have to have in mind the particular avera for which he's bringing it. As the Gemara explains elsewhere, if a person, for example, ate chaleb, and now he's bringing a korban, and they're having in mind that it's being brought on behalf of eating blood, then it wouldn't work. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, You don't really have to have them in mind. Even if you didn't actually have specifically in mind any one of these six things, he just brought the korban without particularly thinking kosher, then the korban will be kosher, because it's tnai based in. The based in says that a person should just do stam and not mention. And the reason is because otherwise he might mistakenly say the wrong thing. Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta explains that he might mistakenly say it. There is discussion about that, because if it's a mistake, then not necessarily would that be a problem. But maybe in fact that is part of the machlokas, whether if he makes a mistake like that, whether it would pass the korban. So Rabbi Yossi says that it might, and therefore the Chachamim are making a takana, don't say any of these things. Just do it stam without any particular thing, so that you don't come to say or do the wrong, so you don't come to say the wrong thing. The Chachamim also agree, it says at the beginning of the Masechta, that it is in fact kosher in that way, that the Chachamim just say there is a mitzvah still to have these things in mind. Rabbi Yossi is saying that no, there's a Tanai based in, Dafka don't have them in mind, so that you don't make a mistake and do the wrong thing. And Rabbi Yossi continues, She'ena machshava hilechus ela achar oved, the thought that would conceivably pass a korban goes only according to the one who brings the korban. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying, in other words, let's say, so the owner is bringing this animal, and he has in mind that it's an ola. But if the kohen thinks that it's a shlomim, then nevertheless, it's not, he's not going to be yotze with it. So therefore, better let's not do that, because then he may mistakenly or on purpose or whatever think that it's a shlomim and make the korban, and then make that the person is not yotze. And it won't help the fact that the owner himself had it in mind, because he's not the one who's doing the avodah. The Son Kodshim has an interesting explanation that also it may mean that we're saying if it wasn't like that, if it depended on the thought of the person who's bringing the korban, then fine, the Chacham don't have to make any takonis. You yourself, you want to bring a korban and you want to mess it up, listen, we're not going to go save you from yourself. But because it doesn't depend on you, because it depends on the kohen who's doing the avodah and you can't control his thoughts, therefore the Chacham are saying, says Rabbi Yossi, to not have anything specific in mind, just do it. And that way the korban will be kosher. An interesting side thing in this connection, the Noda Yehuda famously was against the whole idea of saying L'shem Yichud. He has a tshuva on the subject. In his times, Chassidus was starting to spread, and along with it came a lot of Kabbalistic practices, including to say L'shem Yichud. And many Chassidim do it before many mitzvahs, or many because we do it before only Baruch Shammah. In any case, the Noda Yehuda was very, very opposed to it and wrote a tshuva on the subject with some very harsh language in it. And one thing he points out, you know, the same way as we hear, we're saying that you don't have to have in mind the particular details of the korban, distracted stam, the same way, before you're davening or doing any mitzvah, why should you have to say l'shem yichud, adrabah, then you may ruin it with a wrong kavana or something. To which the tzaddik ha-koyin melublin answers, you know what the difference is? You, the koyin, is doing the avoda in the bismikdash, and yeah, but almost by default, it's going to be that it's going to be for the sake of Hashem who sent him to do it. Especially the Gemara says, "Tani shluchim derachmanan." You know, the koyinim are fundamentally shluchim of Hashem to bring our korbanos on our behalf. So fine, they don't have to mention it because it's automatically Hashem sent them, and therefore automatically it's being done for their mishaleich. But as opposed to everybody else doing a mitzvah or whatever, then by all means he should have to say l'shem yichud. Anyway, so getting back now to the actual to the Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Oyla." Where do we learn this din that you have to have in mind the particular kind of korban? When the pasuk says Oyla, means l'shem Oyla. Where the pasuk says that he brings an oila as a korban to Hashem, and then at the end, after it finishes off the avoda, it says he has to bring. Yes, he brings the emurim, and he brings the pieces of it on the mizbeach as an oila to Hashem. That means l'shem oila. That means he has to be doing it, having in mind that it's an oila. La'tuki l'shem shlomim deloy, as opposed to they can't bring it having in mind that's a shlomim. Now, if you were talking about already burning the emurim, by that point already, or in the case of an ola, burning the whole thing on the mizbeach, by that point, a machshava is not going to pass over anyway. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that goes only as far as the sprinkling of the blood. Now, in particular, this pasuk is not referring to the shechita. However, Rashi points out you do have a similar concept where it says by shlomim in connection with the shechita. So it means it does apply in the shechita and in the other avodas after it. The reason why it mentions the Ola over here is because all of these things that we're going to learn, where it says Ola and Ishe and Reach Nishaya, it says them all together, and therefore the Gemara chooses to bring them all together over here. So we see from this pasuk that there is a mitzvah to do it l'shem ola, and again there are cases where if he does in the cases of the avodas involving the blood, the shchita, and so forth, where if he has in mind that's a different kind of korban, it becomes the owner is not yotzer, or even with some korbanas the korban is disqualified entirely. Okay, so that's the first thing. Next, so when the Mishnah had said l'shem zevach, we learn it from that pasuk. Next, l'shem ishim, we said that it has to be done for the sake of the fire. That means la puki kvava deloy. That means you can't be burning it on the mizbeach, having in mind that it's just gonna be roasted or barbecued. It has to be that he has in mind that it's gonna be completely burnt in the fire of the mizbeach. Reach, when the Mishnah had said he has to have in mind Reach, that means l'shem Reach, that he's having in mind that it will make a fragrance on an odor on the Mizbeach. La'apuke, Vodem Chetzlon, V'helon, as opposed to with an Ola, if he were to first roast the pieces of it off the Mizbeach and then bring it up onto the Mizbeach, then that's no good. Again, it won't pass all the Horban, but he shouldn't be having that in mind. Because then there won't be a fragrance, then you won't have the odor of the burning meat on the Mizbeach that's already been roasted and it doesn't have the same smell. Da'amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, a burnt slon, the halon, Yehuda says in the name of Rab exactly that. If he roasted the limbs of the oila off the Mizbeach, the halon, and then he brought them up onto the Mizbeach, ein behem mishum reyach, then he's not fulfilling the fact that the Torah says reyach nichayach, he's not fulfilling the reyach part. Again, the korban is not possible, but it's not the right thing to do. Next, what does nichoyach mean? L'shem hanochas ruach. It comes as a pleasure to Hashem, so to speak, that Hashem from sha'omer v'nasir etzoynei, that Hashem commanded and His will is being done. And the word l'Hashem teaches us l'shem nisha'omer v'hoya olam comes to teach us that the korban has to be brought having in mind Hashem who created the world. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is saying that all these five things. Again, we're learning from the fact that the Torah says after it finishes with the description of the Ola, it says Ola, Ishe, Reach, Michoyach, Lashem. So from each of those words, we learn one of the dinim of our Mishnah. We didn't mention Lashem Zeveach, but that we learned actually at the beginning of the Masechta. There are other psukim that we learned it from. Tosfos again at the beginning of the Masechta has some discussion of the whole matter, because again, it wouldn't necessarily apply when he's burning the pieces on the Mizbeach. If he doesn't have in mind the owner, it doesn't matter. The korban's already been accomplished anyway. The kapara's already been accomplished once he sprinkled the blood. And then another way of understanding is that you could say it means that there are six things and different ones apply at different times. Now, we learned at the beginning of the Sechter, we were discussing at great length the whole matter of Shaloi L'Shmoi, where a person shechts a korban, having in mind that it's a different kind of korban. So let's talk about a related point, which we learned there at the beginning of the Sechter as well. Omer Yehuda Amar Rav, Chatas Sheshokta B'Shem Ola, if he shechted a Chatas, having in mind that it's an Ola P'sula, then it would be possible, as we worked out in the Gemara over there. But if he shechts the chatas, having in mind that it's chulin, kshera, then the korban would be kosher. Omer of laws of my time in the Rav. Why does Rav say that? Because the pasuk says, "V'lo yichalu as kodshim in Israel." The pasuk says they should not desecrate the kodshim of the Jewish people. The context is talking about the kohenim doing the avodah b'tumah or whatever. But still, we learn from that that since it says "V'lo yichalu as kodshim," we learn from that kodshim mechalim kodshim vein cholin mechalim kodshim. Only kodshim have the capability of being mechalal and ruining kodshim, but chulin do not. So if he has in mind when he's shechting a chatas that it's some other kind of korban, then it'll be ruined. But if he's shechting a chatas having in mind that it's not a korban at all, but rather chulin, then that's not a problem because the pasuk is saying only v'lo yichalu as kodshim. When we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, actually, the Gemara had mentioned that there's a svara as well involved. The Gemara had mentioned that there's a svara that it's more logical that only something of the same kind of min can ruin it, so only a korban which is similar to it. But here we have a drosha from a pasuk for this purpose, and in fact the Shittim Kubetzis actually says over there that in the end Rava agrees it's not a matter of svara, it's a matter of this pasuk. Although uh, Although there are other opinions that say that, no, it's actually a machloikas, that Rabbi Lozer and Rava would argue whether we're learning it from Svara or from Pasuk. Okay, but in any case, that's the din. Everybody agrees to the din, that if he has in mind when he shechts a chatas that it's chulin, then it's not possible. So Gemara says, Masid Rabba, so Rabba says, I have a contradiction. What about on Mishnah and said, Amr Abir, see, Afni Shalahir Belibar, Lashem Echad Bekol Elu, even if he didn't have in mind any of these things, kosher, the korban is still kosher, so Tnai based in, because it's Tnai based in that he should not have them in mind so that he doesn't mess up. Now, Taima Shalahir Belibar Klal. Now the implication, Rabbi Yossi is saying, you know why it's kosher? Is because he didn't have anything in mind at all. It sounds like if he had anything in mind during the Shkita, even that it is cholin, possible, then it would be possible. So that goes against Rav. Abaya answers that's not a problem. No, what it means is if he didn't have in mind anything at all, if he didn't have anything in mind at all, kosher umaratza, not only the korban is kosher, but it's accepted for the owner, and the owner is yotzer. Maybe it means that if he had in mind that it was chulin, kosher, the enim ratza, maybe it means the korban would be kosher, even by a chatas, which shini Hashem makes it possible. But here, because it's chulin, that it wouldn't do that. However, we could argue the enim ratza, that maybe it means the korban is not acceptable for the owner, and therefore he's not yotze. So the Mishnah is not contradicting Rav, because the Mishnah doesn't necessarily mean that Rav Yossi is saying that if he does it the stam, that it's kosher, implying if he had any other thought, it would be possible. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's possible, just means that the owner won't be that the owner won't be yotze. So we can say that, we can still say that in chulin mechalim kodshim, that having in mind that it's chulin will not possible. But however, the next piece of Gemara, which we'll take up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is going to talk about there can be a case where he shechts it thinking that it really is chulin, and then it would be possible for a different reason, which we'll learn about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.